so life continues. That's the type of person you just yearn to hang out with, isn't it? Well, I'm guessing you might rather hang out with a person who seems to enjoy life. That yes, they have trials and struggles, but somehow or another, in the midst of those trials and struggles, they're able to celebrate. They're able to recognize something for what they are. They celebrate opportunities and blessings and accomplishments in everyday life. Can you imagine for a moment that we know of three families that aren't here today because they went to pick up their children from school? Think with me for a moment. Do you think, and I don't know anything about what they're doing, but do you think that they go down there and they tell their children before they come, look, we're just coming to pick you up, get your stuff ready, put it in the car, we're coming home? Or do they go and there's almost a sense of journey on the trip, and the mom and the dad and the siblings on the way there are thinking, you know, this is another transition, things are happening, and so there's some type of anticipation. And they get there, and they're going to see a side of this student that has been away. Maybe they come and visit, but they see a side of that student, and that student has changed in ways because of having been away. And my guess is they aren't just going to get in the car and drive back home. They're probably going to go somewhere and eat. And it's not just going to be eating so they have sustenance for their body, but it becomes a sense of celebration. And while they're there, they're talking about what the year's been like. And how things have been different, and how things might be different yet to come. So that should be a normal part of how we live our lives. And I'm guessing that that's what we would want. I'm guessing that those students who've been away are going to be a little bit disappointed if the parents just show up, say, pack your bags, let's go, and go back home and sit on the couch. But I want us to really pay attention to what the Scripture has to say today, because I truly believe there are many churches who are dying today because the church is a place that people come only out of obligation. They don't come really to celebrate who God is. They don't come to really celebrate what God's done in their life. They don't come to celebrate what they're anticipating God doing. They come to sit in a church pew because somebody told them they were supposed to, and they're going to feel guilty if they don't. Do you want to go to that kind of church? I don't. On the other hand, there are churches that can actually be described as exciting. Not because of gimmicks, not because they go and they give away money or something like that, but because they genuinely celebrate what God is doing in their families, in their church, and in their community. With celebration of what God is doing comes a sense of anticipation of what God is going to do. It can actually get to the point that people don't want to miss church because they don't want to miss being a part of what's happening. People get excited about serving in such an environment because they see lives being changed, including theirs. Now, it's not about putting more people in pews or more names on a roster for Woodland or anyone else. And if you start doing it for that reason, then it becomes fake. But if we're living a life of celebration, it draws other people in. People yearn for that. The people that are going through that life just out of obligation, they don't want to be doing that. They're not happy doing that. But if they become more aware that there is something different, genuinely different, that they're seeing through you and me, they're going to be drawn in. And honestly, I don't care if they're drawn to Woodland or not. I want them to be drawn to Jesus Christ through us and the way we live. That's why we're going to focus on celebration. And by the way, I hope you're wondering what kind of church Woodland is. Do we fall into the church of people who are here out of obligation? Or are we a church that comes here celebrating who God is and what He does? I can give at least one example of somebody who wanted to be here. This happened less than a year ago, and it was from my son Noah, who at the time was 9 years old. He knows that pastors tend to move around at different places. By the way, I'm not planning on going anywhere. Somebody thought when I started announcing something last a couple of Sundays ago about how long I'd been here, they thought that announcement was going to go into something else about where I was going next. That's not happening. Even if you want to get rid of me, I'm not ready yet, and God hadn't called me yet. But Noah knew that pastors tend to move because he'd heard us talk about that. And he said, Dad, if we have to move and you go to another church and we can't live in this house anymore because you're not the pastor at Woodland anymore, can I still go to Woodland Church? When you've got a 9-year-old that's excited and wanting to be a part of a fellowship, there's something good that's happening there, and there are people here that are coming for a reason other than just obligation. So I commend you for that. I'm not saying there's not work we have to do, but Woodland is a good place to be. And so we need to honor that. We need to celebrate that and not take that for granted. So let's continue looking at what God has to say. So the scripture that Crystal just read, if you want to turn to that, Psalm 98. There are several different versions of this. She read from the NIV version, I believe. And in that, I think we can see why we celebrate. And the first part of why we celebrate is because of what God did. I want to, you can follow along in your Bible. There's a Bible in the pew if you don't have one. That's the NIV. But I want to share from a paraphrase. A paraphrase is different than a version. It doesn't mean it's an actual translation of the Bible. It's not. I don't claim it to be. I'm not trying to change the words of the Bible. But what it does, it takes somebody's interpretation of that Bible and tries to put it in how we might talk today. So it's not, I don't want you to take this as a translation. It's just somebody putting it in their words. And so that's what I want you to understand. So I'm going to share what Crystal just shared, but kind of in today's language. This is what it says. I'm just reading verses 1 through 2 for now. Sing to God a brand new song. He made a world of wonders. He rolled up his sleeves. He set things right. God made history with salvation. He showed the world what he could do. That's pretty amazing. When you think about who God is and what God does, it starts off by saying we're to sing, He made a world of wonders. Our minds cannot begin to comprehend all that God has done, all that God has created, all the wonders that exist because of Him and who He is. But we can begin to at least try. But I love the other way, the next phrase in the way it described it. It says He rolled up His sleeves. This person, when they read that scripture that we just had this morning, they understood that the God that we worship isn't just a God that sets up on a throne somewhere and points his finger and says, this be done and this be done and this be done, not saying God couldn't do that, but our God is a God that rolls up his sleeves and gets involved in our lives and cares about us and is present and desires to have a relationship. That's what God has done. And that's one of the reasons that we need to be willing to celebrate. He set things right. God made history with salvation. We talked about a month ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And in the midst of that, we celebrated what God had done. And it's through that, through Jesus Christ's death, we have deliverance from power, the power of sin and Satan. And we don't have that just on Easter Sunday. That wasn't something that just happened a long ways back. We have that every single day. And if we don't claim it, Satan and the power of sin will seep into our lives and take control of what we're doing. We need to recognize that daily, and in the midst of recognize it, celebrate and give thanks for that. So what God did, we just talked about. But the next thing is, what is God doing? Verse 3, in the paraphrase I've got, said, He remembered us as a bonus to His dear family Israel. And this is a word I never heard before. I had to look it up on the computer to know how to say it. But I love the word. Indefatigable. And what that means, to His dear family Israel, indefatigable love, it means it comes from the word fatigue. God does not, it is not possible for God to get tired of loving us. Indefatigable love. He cannot get tired of loving us. He cares for us that much. So let's go back, and I want to look at it in the context of the scripture before that, of what God did, but what's God doing now? Let's think about the wonders. If you were to just take time to pay attention to the wonders around of you, first of all, there's nature. And if you haven't done it, you need to take time just to enjoy a little bit of the nature that's in Nelson County. If you haven't, you're not grasping one of the greatest blessings God's given you. Whether it's walking on the trail that I try to do several times a week, whether it's going out to a river and going fishing or going kayaking or going canoeing, or whether it's just hiking a trail that's around, or driving through the mountains, or just sitting. There are so many places, probably people that you know, you can be on their front porch and look at the mountains, including your pastor. Come by and visit and sit for a while and enjoy what God has to show us. The other is the human body. The human body is spectacular. Yet a lot of times we take it for granted. The only time we really talk about our body that much is when it's giving us a hard time and when it hurts. So like Melissa said, let me give you just a few things about the human body, God's creation. The brain, just the part up here, has 1 billion nerve cells. If you put the information that your brain can hold over a 70-year life into an encyclopedia, it would stack 442 miles high. Your bone marrow produces 8 million new red blood cells per minute. Each footstep you take places 3 times your body weight on that foot. You walk approximately 77,000 miles in your lifetime. Every 7 years, your body, get this, every 7 years, your body completely replaces itself. When you take a bite into an apple, it turns into skin, heart, lungs, kidney cells, and so on. You could circumnavigate the globe twice with the length of blood vessels inside your body, which are 60,000 miles worth. Messages via nerve impulses between your brain and the rest of your body travel at a staggering 250 miles per hour. And finally, human muscles are several times stronger than we realize. The limits to our strength are more a matter of limitations of joints and tendons and ligaments. That's why humans can perform seemingly miraculous feats during an adrenaline rush. Your body overrides these limitations and your muscles are given a chance to show their true potential. And that's not one spectacular person. That describes all of us here today. That's one of the wonders. Let's keep looking. Another wonder would be relationships. If you think about how people come in to relate to each other and how those relationships develop and how people's lives are impacted or changed because of that. And we could have lots to talk about there, but I'm going to keep going. Then there are accomplishments. Accomplishments that I believe God is a part of. And you know what? We need to celebrate those accomplishments. No matter how big or small they are, and we need to give credit to God where God deserves that credit. And when we do that and others see that, then they can recognize that in their own life. Do you think small accomplishments are a big deal? Big accomplishments, we do a pretty good job celebrating. But the small accomplishments help us continue to live life the way God desires in recognizing the joy, the hope, the promise, and what's yet to come. I've shared this illustration before, but in a different context. I want to share it again today. I love baseball. It's a baseball season, so it's a good time for that kind of illustration anyway. But in fall ball last season, a team I was helping to coach, there was a child that was playing on that team, had never played baseball before in his life. And his mom and dad were a little concerned. He just decided he wanted to play, and they didn't really want to tell him no. They had always encouraged him to try whatever he wanted to, but here he was, 12 years old, and he had never swung a baseball bat. And he wants to play on a team with players who many of them had been playing for 6 years or more. And they came and told me that, and they were concerned. And I said, you know, I think the guys on our team will be accepting, and I think there's some things we can help him learn, and I think he can enjoy the game. And I said, that's what we're hoping, but we're just really nervous. Well, we did very little conversation about it, but that team over the time began to realize that that this kid wasn't as good as a lot of the other kids at throwing and catching and hitting, but they developed a relationship with him, and they began to encourage him, and they began to show him what to do. And game after game, he would go up and he would strike out. And at first he was scared of the ball and he would step out, but finally he got to where he would stay in it. Then he got to where he would start swinging, and the guys at the bench, they would cheer him on every single time. When he came back from striking out, they would give him a fist bump and say, "Good try, buddy, and you'll get it next time," and kept on. And I want to tell you, we were at Madison Heights on the baseball field there, and this kid swung the bat, made contact with the ball, and it went between the first baseman and the second baseman, and he got to first base, and I have never seen a group of baseball players cheer any louder for a home run than they did when that kid made it to first base. Now I have a question for you. Did that celebration make any difference to that kid? All he did was get a base hit. Good gosh, that happens in every game, and everybody does it. Why are you going to make a big deal about something as little as that? Because it deserved it. Because there was a lot behind it. Because there were things going on. And that's what we so often set aside in our own lives. There are so many ways that God blesses us and uses us and gives us opportunity, and we just blow it off like it's no big deal. If we pay attention and we celebrate and we acknowledge that, it not only changes our lives, it helps other people to see how their lives can be different as well, instead of continuing to go through life doing nothing more than fulfilling obligations. God doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to celebrate the life in which He gives us a right and opportunity, hope, and promise to live every single day. Got a little excited about that. Not only should we celebrate accomplishments, I believe at times we need to celebrate sacrifices. And an example of this, I'll give you a small one and a kind of big one. A small one is, again, a baseball thing. Somebody in the stands, this man gets a ball hit to him, foul ball. He catches the ball. First ball he's ever caught in his life. He's been to tons of them. But he recognizes this little kid behind him that he doesn't know, and he turns around and hands the baseball to this kid. He sacrificed the foul ball at a professional baseball game that he's never going to get back. Probably not a big deal, but I bet it's a big deal for that boy. So there's sometimes God calls us to make sacrifices that we, the one, think it's not a big deal. That kid's going to get to go to a lot more baseball games than I am. He might get to catch one. I might never get to catch another. There's ways we can rationalize ourselves out of making even the smallest sacrifices God calls us to do. But then let me share another one with you. This happened in 1982 when an Air Florida Flight 90 smashed into a frozen lake in the middle of a snowstorm. All but six passengers were killed, and some 20 minutes later, a helicopter arrived to rescue the survivors. After getting one man to safety, the helicopter threw a long ring to Arlen Williams, who immediately gave it to the passenger next to him. When the helicopter came back for a third time, he did the same thing again and again. When the helicopter came back the final time, Arlen was dead. He used the last ounce of strength to save a complete stranger. I don't know that God will call you or I to do that. But by golly, when things like that happen and people have followed and given in that way, we need to do more than tell a story about it. We need to celebrate who they are and the life they've lived and why that's important and the difference that it's made. Or else that sacrifice comes to mean nothing. Are you beginning to understand why celebration is important? Are you beginning to understand why celebration makes a difference? Why God wants it to be a regular part of our lives? So, as we continue, I want us to think about how we're going to celebrate. We need to celebrate genuinely. But Some of you might say, Greg, I like what you're saying, but Greg, I know you. You love hanging around people. You like being all excited. You like talking all the time. You're just that type of person. I'm not. I'm an introvert. I don't like being around a lot of people. Quiet day at home is great for me. I'm not saying you need to celebrate the way I do. You should celebrate the way God created you to celebrate. And the most introverted person in the world can have an amazing celebration. It's just more likely that celebration might be with one other people instead of 1,000 other people. And you know what? That introvert that's celebrating is going to be able to celebrate in a much more powerful way in an intimate group with a few people than I would ever be able to. Because we're different. So there's a place and there's a proper way based on how God created you for everyone to genuinely celebrate who you are and what God's doing in your life. So celebrate. If we continue to look now at that paraphrase from the Message Bible, I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. It says, shout your praise to God, everybody. Let loose and sing. Strike up the band. Round up the orchestra and play for God. Add 100 voice choir. Feature trumpets and big trombones. Fill the air with praise to King God. Let the sea and its fish give a round of applause. Let every living thing on earth join in. Let ocean breakers call out encore and mountains harmonize the finale. A tribute to God when He comes. When He comes to set the earth right. He will straighten out the world. He will put the world right and everyone in it. When we celebrate, we need to do it genuinely. I love the word exuberant. There have been times, I don't care who you are, I don't care how introverted you are, I don't care how quiet you are, there's been a time in every one of your lives when you've just gotten super excited about something. And you know what it means to be exuberant. When we really understand who God is and how God's working in our lives, that type of thing happens in us. And that doesn't mean we're going crazy every single day, but it means there's something deep inside of us, a joy that can't be taken away by any person or any situation. And others can't help but see it. Our celebration needs to happen regularly, and God needs to be included. And I've had several celebrations recently. You know about my 50th birthday. If you don't know, my wedding anniversary was May the 4th. And no, we're not Star Wars fanatics. Somebody keeps asking me that. We didn't know anything about Star Wars when we got married on May the 4th. But I knew Melissa would get that. But some of you, it might be easy to look at Christy and I and say, well, yeah, Greg, you're a preacher. She's a preacher's wife. Your life is going well. Yeah, it's easy for you to celebrate your anniversary. Y'all just hang out together and everything's going to... Things are not always the way they seem. And you need to know that's true of your pastor, too. One of the things that I was able to celebrate, and we didn't necessarily talk about it on our anniversary, but we come back and revisit it every once in a while. There was a time we just celebrated our 16th. It was probably about 10 years ago that our marriage wasn't what God wanted it to be. And finally, I realized it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And so in the midst of that time, I began to pray. And I realized that my marriage wasn't what it was supposed to be because I wasn't celebrating my wife. The thought came to me. I literally thought this and almost said it out loud in the car driving down the road. Why is my marriage not better? I'm married to this beautiful woman. She's capable. She does so much. She loves me. She cares for me. She helps take care of me and my family. We both love doing things together. Why is this marriage just blah? And that's what it was. It was blah. And as I prayed, God convicted me and said, because you're not making her the priority that I want you to make her. I was too worried about my obligations to my job and making sure that I was doing all that right, and specifically that I was pleasing a somewhat overbearing boss. So whenever there was an expectation, that always, always took priority over my life. And I was paying the price. I wasn't celebrating. I never took time to celebrate who she was or the things she did or the dinners that she made. When we don't celebrate what God gives us, we begin to take it for granted. It begins to not have any meaning. And our life ceases to be what God desires it to be. So when I celebrated my anniversary, I don't just celebrate that things are great. I celebrate and give thanksgiving to God that He helped me get my act straight to pay attention so that I could be the person that God wanted me to be. I still fall short. But we need to recognize celebration is important. Celebration makes a difference in so many ways. We're going to look in the next few weeks at relationships, celebration of relationships. We're going to do that on Mother's Day. We're going to look at a celebration of accomplishments as we have graduate recognition the Sunday after that. And by the way, if there are any of you that have connections with somebody who's a graduate that we haven't been made known of yet, please let us know. We want to recognize all the graduates connected to Woodland in any way on that day. And then on the last day of this month, we're going to celebrate sacrifice on Memorial Day. And we're going to truly celebrate those who gave their life for freedom. But in order to do that in the way that we're supposed to, it has to begin with a celebration, not for ourselves or even for other people, but a celebration of who God is. And Psalm 98 that we had today tells us that. It tells us why we need to celebrate God. It tells us how to celebrate God. And it should be something that happens regularly in worship, but not just in worship. So I encourage you, as you leave here today, and then tomorrow and the next day, to seek out those things, big and small, that God's placing in your life, and celebrate. However you celebrate, celebrate them. Don't get caught up in just living through your obligations of life. There are things, there are responsibilities God wants you to do, and some of them are hard, some of them are impossible, but in the midst of that, God's going to give you those little things to celebrate, and it's going to help you get where you need to be that you can't get without God. Would you stand together? I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And we're going to have a closing hymn. And as we do, I invite you to respond. You can respond if you choose to. I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you. By the way, that's another thing. So I'm going to ask you, raise your hand if you've ever had anyone ask you to pray for them. If anybody's ever asked you to pray for them, raise your hand. Okay. That's an opportunity for celebration. I don't care what it was to pray for. You can be praying about something that went really well. You can be praying about a problem. But if it's about a problem or a challenge, it's an opportunity to celebrate what God's going to do that we don't know about yet. You don't raise your hand for this one, but how many times has someone asked you to pray for them and you said you would and you didn't do it? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know that. But I'll tell you something that you can do if you fear that problem. It's very rare that I've ever felt it inappropriate when somebody asks me to pray for them not to pray for them right there. Whether it's on the telephone, whether it's in food line, wherever it may be, if somebody opens that door and wants me to pray for them, I want them to know that I take the relationship with my God seriously, and if they're wanting to talk to Him, He's ready. You don't have to wait till I get time to do my little devotion. So if somebody is ever asking you to pray for them, that's a time to celebrate. Don't miss. Lord, as we come now, a time of commitment, a time to recommit to being the people you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that we will do that. We will recognize the wonders that you place around us every day, and we will celebrate them in a way that give you honor, praise, and glory. And Lord, when we do that in the way you desire, you don't want it just because of bringing accolades to you. You know that if we celebrate in that way, it's going to bring joy, unfathomable joy in our lives. And God, you love us that much. That's what you want for us. And then that becomes contagious. And God, allow us to be contagious Christians. Allow us to draw others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. The altar's open. The church doors are open. Come and respond as you would lead, as we sing together.